We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross, rise and shine, give God the glory. Soldiers of the, we are climbing this morning. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross, every run goes higher and higher. Don't you want to go higher this morning? Higher. Every run goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the, let's climb this ladder this morning. Oh, we are climbing, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross, if you love him, if you love him, why not serve him? If you love him, why not serve him? If you love him, why not serve him? Soldiers of the, if we are climbing, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the, oh, thank you. Thank you. What's the last one? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me great salvation so free. We are climbing, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers.
Lord Father, we thank you once again, Lord, that, Lord, you've given us another privilege, Lord, to come and gather into your holy land, Lord Father. Lord, to praise you, to honor you, Lord, this morning, Lord Father. We don't take it for granted, Lord. Lord, we commit our hearts to you, Lord. We let you, Lord Father, open our hearts, Lord Father, and dwell in us, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, I commit this offering into your hands, Lord. Bless each and every pocket, Lord Father. Bless each and every family, Lord Father. We praise you. We give you glory to your name. Your Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Becky, while she comes. Amen.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When I find the joy of reaching your heart, When my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. Shadows in the light of you. When I find the joy of reaching your heart, when my way becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Ooh. I worship you. I worship you. The sound of worship coming from the throne. They are cries of adoration as men from every nation. They lift their voice to make His glory known. Singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels bow, the redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy. The sound of heaven, like the sound of many waters, it's the sound of worship coming from the throne. There are cries of adoration as men from every nation lift their voice to make His glory known. Singing, holy, holy. worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's a holy God. Amen. I'd like to sing a song. It's called More Like You. I want to be more like Jesus. If you listen to the words, I'll try to express it the way I heard it. When I heard it, how the Lord gave it to me. Lord, if my life was ever worth anything, it's now that I've come to know you. My heart can daily praise you and sing of all the wonders you bring me through. All I want is to confide in you, Lord. All I want is to daily live for you, Lord. All I want by your power and might, Lord, make me more like you, my Savior. I'm asking to only be more like you, Lord. Lord, release your power to your bride. Oh, just like David, a man after your own heart, thy word have I heed from the very start. I've set the Lord to always be my essence. Always I'll be conscious of his presence. All I want is to confide in you, Lord. All I want to daily live for you, Lord. All I want is to know you by your power and might. Lord, make me more like you, my Savior. All I'm asking is to only be more like you, Lord. Lord, release your power to your bride. We are the bride without spot or wrinkle. No more with the world are we entangled. You've allowed us to live in the seventh age. A bride on fire we call to be at the end. All I want is to confide in you, Lord. All I want is to daily live for you, Lord. All I want is to know you by your power and might. Lord, make me more like you, my Savior. All I'm asking is to only be more like you, Lord. Lord, release your power to your bride. Now that is the house that God dwells in. Living instrumentality, God walking in me. The steps of the righteous are ordered of God. Christ in me completing his works, you see. All I want is to confide in you, Lord. All I want is to daily live for you, Lord. All I want is to know you by your power and might. Lord, make me more like you, my Savior. All I'm asking is to only be more like you, Lord. Lord, release your power to your bride. Amen. We only want to be more like Jesus. Let's stand up and worship as we get back. Sorry, song worship. That's it. Amen. Jesus drove me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Lord, let the world fade so far from me. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Like Samson, I want once more, Lord, closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. This is my desire this morning. Oh, this is my desire. Oh, my desire to honor you, Lord. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Let's worship him with all our hearts this morning. All I have, all I have within us, I give.
Spoken morning, saints. We want to welcome Brother Godfrey back. God bless you, brother. Ah, Brother Godfrey, right in front. You don't notice the people in front of you. Brother Godfrey is thanking the Lord for bringing him back amongst us, passing greetings from the church in Zambia and from Pastor Chimuna. God bless you, brother. Amen. Wonderful. Let's pray for Sister Gloria. She's sick. She couldn't make it today. And Brother Mike has, Brother Mike Adago has got a prayer request from his workmate. What's the name, bro? Shijimon. His son is in the hospital. So let's put that before the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee, Lord. Father, you know the life behind the names of people. You know the circumstances. You know the situation. You know, Father, your hand in these things. Surely, Lord, in every situation, your desire to reveal yourself unto the sons and daughters of man. And Father, you are more than able and more than willing, Lord, to take advantage, Lord, of all that the enemy would do. Because, Father, you can bring good out of evil. So, Father, we bring this Shijimon unto you upon this day, the Son. We ask of you even now, Father, look down with the eyes of mercy, with the eyes of compassion, Lord, upon that situation. Lord, look down with the eyes of anger upon the workings of the enemy. We pray, even our precious sister, we pray for her. Sister Gloria, we pray, Lord, there where she is, Lord, draw nigh unto her. Father, you are her comforter, Lord. You are her healer. You are all that she needs. I pray your blessing, Lord, your grace upon her. We thank you for bringing our brother back safely, Lord. We do pray, Lord, for his pastor. We pray for the saints in Zambia. Bless them as well, even as we desire your blessing upon us upon this day. Father, help us as you open your word. Open our understanding. Grant us liberty upon this day. Grant us grace that, Father, you may lead us in the way that you desire us to go. That as we come to the end of the service, we'd say it was good to be in your house. And our desire is that you would look down and say it was good. Father, we wait upon you. Bless your people. Cover us in your blood. Quicken us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen, saints. Let's open Revelation chapter 17. Wanted to take something today. Would have showed a few slides, but my computer wasn't working too well on the slides. So it's okay. Revelation 17. We just want to revisit something today. Just once again to look at some of these modern events made clear by prophecy. We just want to revisit the sixth vision again. And just to get into something a little bit, just to show, firstly, how God works, how the prophet told us. And secondly, just to look at certain things that maybe are very symbolic as to the time that we're dwelling in. But let's read Revelation 17. Let's read the first seven verses. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. And he talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the seven horns. My, that's wonderful. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. If I had to take a title today, we'd like to speak about Jezebel rising. You know, we're in that kind of a time. And just to show maybe just some of these parallels of things that are taking place with things that are prophesied to take place. So when you speak about the sixth vision once again, if you take it from the Church Age book chapter 9, Laodicean Church Age, the prophet's speaking about his prediction of the end time. And he says, I base this prediction on seven major continuous visions that came to me one Sunday morning in June 1933. Oh, seven major continuous visions. So we know those visions. He said, the Lord Jesus spoke to me and said that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh. But that before he came, seven major events would transpire. I wrote them all down, and that morning I gave forth the revelation of the Lord. And we know those visions, powerful visions. We spoke of them before. But it's the sixth vision again. We want to revisit. It says, then in the sixth vision, there rose up in America a most beautiful but cruel woman. She held the people in her complete power. I believed that this was the rising of the Roman Catholic Church. Though I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America due to the popular vote by women. And every time the prophet speaks of this, he always puts that combination in there. He speaks of the rising of the Catholic Church and he says, but possibly it could be the rising of a woman. You know, so I just want to try to tie those things together today because there's a lot of things going around. Brother Wilmer knows, he sent me some things. People prophesying, I think maybe the brother Innocent might know in Malawi, different prophecies about Hillary Clinton being president and it's going to cause the tribulation period and so forth. And we've had people making right their lives from other places who left us because of their fear, because of these prophecies and so forth. So now you don't want to make your life right because you're scared. You know, you want to make your life right because the Lord convicts you of your sin. You don't want someone to tell you the Lord's coming. It's, oh no, look, I spoke evil of this person. I better say sorry to them now. Well, it's better than nothing, but that's not really the way you want to repent. You want repentance to be a conviction based on the Lord's dealing with you, that you want to be right with Him. No, but there's a lot of these things going around. And I just really wanted to go back on this. I was studying a little bit again. And then the seventh vision, the last and seventh vision, was wherein I heard a most terrible explosion. And I turned to look and I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke over all the land of America. You know, so we read the scripture, Revelation 17, where the seventh angel, the angel with the plagues, he gives John the understanding of who this woman is. You know, so obviously that's a type of our age, because we see a woman, we see her sitting on the scarlet-colored beast. Obviously, this is the woman that comes to her judgment in Revelation 18. This is Babylon the Great and so forth. Now, we know the scripture. So I do believe the prophet, he really had a good understanding on these things. So if the Lord revealed to the prophet a certain something, it was so outstanding. Now, it was such a pivotal event. This rising of this woman is not a light thing. This is a real pivotal event in the end time prophetic agenda, the way that the timetable is going to unfold itself. This woman rises up just before the judgment that falls upon America. So it's an important something here. It's got to be related to America because the prophet says she rose up in America. She had complete control in America. Now, I think maybe a key to some of these things is if you take handwriting on the wall, 1958, the prophet gives us a very, very important principle in paragraph 7. He says, we find that in the fulfilling of the scriptures, the word is so great, so many times it has a dual fulfilling, and most of it repeats at least once.
Amen.
Now there's a real key he's going to give us here. Now the prophet, when he gives you those keys open up a lot of things.
Amen.
Is that he's saying that God's word is so rich.
Amen.
Now if God speaks something, if God reveals something, it's so rich that it's not only fulfilled once,
Amen.
Generally speaking. You can take it over and over and over again. And it can be fulfilled in different realms, in different ways, in different, you know, situations that are there. So he says, for instance, in the Bible, Matthew, the second chapter, out of Egypt I've called my son. We know that prophecy. If you read the scripture, run the reference, you'll find back over that God called his son Jacob, yeah, out of Egypt. So that was the lesser fulfillment of that prophecy. He says, then it also is fulfilled again when he called his son Jesus out of Egypt.
Amen.
And it just keeps repeating itself because it's inspired.
Amen.
So when I take that, and I thought when I read that quote, I said, okay, let's go back and look at this vision again that the prophet had. And then you start seeing, but hey, you know, in order for something to be fulfilled, as we'll see as we just trace it through the scriptures, maybe it's going to need the fulfillment of both of those in the vision. Maybe it's going to need a woman to rise up, and it's going to be the World Catholic Church is going to be the one behind the scenes, because any prophecy, anything that God gives forth is so powerful.
Amen.
And listen how he says it. He says, if I wrote you a letter, you would perhaps appreciate the letter. And if you wrote me one, I'm sure I'd appreciate it, but my letter would be just to you. And therefore, after you read it once, you know all the meaning. And the letter would be insufficient anymore for anybody else. It was just designated for you. But it's not so with God's eternal word. It's inspired. Therefore, it's to all peoples and all ages and to meet all conditions. That's what makes it keep repeating itself. As history swings around, it swings with history. You see, so we can see the prophet can come on the scene and he can tell us 1960, that John F. Kennedy was Ahab. But then as we keep going, John F. Kennedy's off the scene. We need to find Ahab now as well.
Amen.
So, you know, can you see what he's saying here? Amen. So when history comes and certain events come, you know, the prophet's going to get in the realm, take the scripture. And he says, because history has swung around to that particular junction, now the prophecies are fulfilled in a certain way. But if you keep going on in that same historical pattern, you're going to find another situation's going to come and you're going to take that same scripture, those same visions, and it's going to be fulfilled to meet the conditions that history requires at that time. Now you'll find it all the way through. That's how we'll find Ahab. We can find his fulfillment in different ways. I'll give you another example. The prophet speaks of Micaiah the prophet, and the prophet speaks of himself at that time being the fulfillment of the prophecy of, because he withstood the 400 prophets of Baal, and he was the only voice, you know, that was speaking. But you and I also fulfill Micaiah.
Amen.
Because we say just what Elijah said, you know, the song of Ulrich Andrew. So you find that as things move on, because we're under the same program, we're under the same pattern, you know, what the prophet fulfilled there, no, we're also fulfilling in our type as well. That's and you'll find because history, he says, swings around. It swings with the history. And it never loses its value because it's the eternal word of the eternal God. And it cannot lose its value. Friends, there's no one else that can ever speak the way God speaks. Because when he speaks, it's so virtuous. You know, we can take the same scripture and for thousands of years, people have been taking the same scriptures and finding virtue in those scriptures. No matter what situation that they were in, those scriptures became applicable in the situation that people were. Because it was God's word into that situation. So it's going to be the same all the way down. So that's why I think the prophet, he always speaks of it in this way. Laodicea in church age, when he preaches it, this is 1960 December, he says, there'll be a powerful woman. Now remember, this is on tape two. A powerful woman, great woman. She'll either be president or it'll be a woman representing the Catholic Church, which I think it is. Will take over here someday and she'll rule this country. Now, so the prophet always would divide it like that. Right to the end, right to the Church Age book. When he went through it, you know, Brother Brian, I was listening to the testimony of Brother Perry Green. The other day, it was interesting. And he was speaking about the time he was with the prophet. And he was driving with the prophet in the car. And the Brother Ram was driving. And Brother Perry Green was reading the transcripts from Brother Lee Vale on the Seven Church Age book. Because the prophet wanted to make sure it was right. And the prophet said to Perry Green, he says, Brother Perry, don't worry reading about the page. But in the middle of the next page, we need to make a correction. Perry Green was reading this page, but the prophet in the spiritual realm was already reading the next page. It's another way to...
Amen.
And that's how I find it's a powerful book, that one there. You know, when you get somebody like that, you know, it's hard to argue with that kind of a person. So when the prophet comes and puts it in the Church Age book to say, I think it's Rome, but it could possibly be a woman. You know, it's not something he just puts there lightly. I think it's something that has some significance there. Now, we have to understand that as well, that certain people and certain events are representative people. Like John F. Kennedy, I mean, he was a representative man. You know, I mean, he didn't do so much if you go and read about his history, but he was a representative man. He was the first Catholic president. So straight away, that got the prophet's attention because he saw, hey, and that's when he came straight and preached Jezebel religion because of that event of Kennedy coming in. So certain people represent something. Far more than what they actually are as people, but it's what they represent that's the important thing.
Amen.
Now, certain people, certain events are a flashing red light. It's God trying to get the attention of people. It's God trying to bring to the attention of the elect maybe a certain junction, a certain key time in history, whatever that it's going to be, a certain prophetic junction that he wants his people to be very careful to navigate spiritually through that. Now, so you find a lot of people in the Bible, you find even Putin in this day. He's a representative man. Now he represents, watch Russia, watch the King of the North. You know, and he's a man that's risen up and he's just anointed to fulfill his part in Scripture. Because the Scripture's gone forth. Ezekiel spoke it, the prophet spoke it, the angel spoke to the prophet in the seven visions. Watch Russia, watch the King of the North. So in due season, as history moves around, someone's got to get anointed. You know, and there's going to be certain signs and certain things that they won't even realize they're fulfilling at that time. But it's God trying to get the attention of people so that people get out of the busyness of life and will stop and think a little bit and say, but hey, this means something. You know, this means maybe that we've moved into a certain prophetic juncture. You know, that maybe we need to be a little bit careful at this kind of a time. So, you know, these kinds of people are signposts. You know, that as you're trying to get to a certain destination, you find it says Dublin 30. No, you haven't got there yet, but when you see these signs, when you see these things, you can say, but yay, we're getting near to the destination. And I believe that some of these things that are taking place at the moment as well in the world, some of these are real flashing red lights. You know, these are things that before the train comes into the station, these red lights start to flash to tell you, look, the prophetic train, the gospel train's coming on in. It hasn't got here just yet. But as these lights begin to flash closer and closer together and more, you find that it starts to move into these things. So I really do believe, and I just want to show you that a little bit at the beginning here now, that the Clintons themselves are representative people. I believe that they're very important people prophetically. I don't believe Hillary Clinton is the fulfillment of that vision. I don't. I believe it's a Roman Catholic Church. But I believe that she's a dual fulfillment. I believe that Hillary Clinton rising up, especially in the light that her husband was president as well, Bill Clinton, I believe there's a real significance here, prophetically speaking. That as history comes around, the Lord brings things back again. Just like he did in the 1960s to Kennedy rising up. He had to rise up at that time to be a sign. And the prophet caught that sign straight away. And I believe that these people, especially this family, the Clintons, they're a prophetic sign to us. And I'll just try to show you why I say that. Now, the first thing, and people have always brought this up about Hillary Clinton, is her name, Hillary Rodham. You know, the name means something. So she was Hillary Rodham. Yeah? Six letters ending in Ham. That has to be significant. Because the prophet says we went all through the ages and we never had, we had a Sankey, a Moody, we had a Billy Sunday, we had a Spurgeon. We never had somebody who had the name Ham, six letters, until Billy Graham came on the scene. And the prophet, he picked it up straight away. Then, sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, I want to ask you something. Isn't it strange? Never have we had a man, a minister, in them churches that his name ended with Ham until today. He says, all down, we've had all kinds of men, but never one ended with Ham. H-A-M. But Graham, to the church down in Sodom. Graham, the messenger to the church at Sodom, showing exactly the message that it was. Now, so the prophet could see that Billy Graham's a representative man. Yes. You know, that this is a man that caught the prophet's attention. Yes. Now, we know Billy Graham had big mistakes, he did all the things that he did, but he had to be there in the end time. Amen. He had to have that name, and he had to fulfill a ministry at the end time. And what was his ministry? He had to quicken the harvest in Sodom. He was type of one of the angels that went down to Sodom. And all they went down there to do was just to fill the cup. That's all they did. Amen. They did no good down there whatsoever. Right. Just pulled Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and his wife turns to a pillar of salt. So they never really achieved something. But the prophet says it was just to bring two harvests. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that to be the coming of the promise unto Abraham. Amen. That to be the burning of Sodom. So something had to fill the cup. So those two angels going down to Sodom, those two anointed angels going down there, they just went down there so that it became really the days of Sodom. So that the men came from the left, right, and all the young people came and wanted to lie with them. and wanted to put their hands upon the holy vessels, and that filled up the cup of the Amorites that night, and God could burn them with fire. So, now certain of these things, like Billy Graham, the prophecy, just went down there. It was just to blind the people. Now, it's a hard thing to think about. But some of these people, they've got an anointing, a quickening upon them. And I'm not saying Hillary Clinton in that same way. Billy Graham was anointed as a minister of the gospel to do it. But you'll find some of these people are anointed. Like Putin, he's anointed to bring about God's word. And then they're going to be judged. You know, Russia will destroy America, and then they're going to get destroyed themselves. God's never going to forget all the evil of communism. He's never going to forget all the blood of the righteous that's been shed by Russia through the ages. But he's going to use them like he used Babylon as an instrument of vengeance to bring to pass his judgment. And then he'll judge them at Armageddon. They'll be judged. They'll be destroyed as well. So you find like Clinton and these kinds of people rising up at these kinds of times. Even Barack Hussein Obama with his name. You know, these kind of people just had to be there. Yes, they're just people that come to quicken things to the harvest. Yes, they're just key people that get anointed by such evil and such wickedness that some of the things they do, they don't even understand the significance of what they're doing. Amen. But they're very significant people. You know, if you even take George Bush, he had to be there. Yes, you know, because we saw it in that September the 11th, in the last days of Samaria, of Israel, before it was destroyed, they had to be in war with the Assyrians. Remember, those Assyrians were so cruel. They were the first ones that used to behead people and so forth. So if like George Bush had to come and he had to decide, have this idea, let's remove Saddam Hussein, and he stirred up the whole hornet's nest. And all of this terrorism and all the things that are there now, and all the problems with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all that, it's all because of him. It's all because, but he had to do it to fulfill scripture. Because that was the conditions that's got to be there at the end. Because in the last days of Israel, that's how it was. So we've got to have it in the last days of America as well. Because they've got to parallel one another. So there's people that have to raise up to quicken things to the end. If we look at where we are now, what are we waiting for next?
Hallelujah.
No, I'm not speaking on the spiritual line, but in the natural line. There's one thing we're waiting for. We're waiting for the World Council of Churches to exert itself.
Amen.
We're waiting for something to quicken, to energize the image of the beast. It's a toothless bulldog at the moment. Who fears the World Council of Churches here? Anybody can go and preach on the streets. People can still preach on the internet. We can do all these things. But something has to come in. Someone has to raise up that's anointed now. Just as much as Russia was a third world country 100 years ago. It was a nothing and a nobody. But according to prophecy, something had to come and quicken it.
Amen.
And 20 years ago, the Soviet Union collapsed 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that was the end of it all. And there were people queuing long queues for sausages in Moscow. And people thought, where's Russia going to play in this? And then they had to raise up a man. And there was a man with a vision, Putin, and he says, I want to make my country great again. I want to restore the glory. He says, the greatest tragedy in human history in our age was the collapse of the Soviet Union. Now, he's an atheistic man. We don't agree with the man. But we can really see that it was a Jew season. So God had to raise up a man, and the man had to be anointed with a particular anointing so that he could quicken something. And all of a sudden, we saw the King of the North rising. We see Russia with its weapons ahead of America now. No, we see its missile systems. We see it's got missiles that will circumvent the American missile shield, which is according to prophecy, because the prophet says that America is Babylon. He says it's Belshazzar's drunken feast. And it says Belshazzar and all of them are drunk, worshipping their gods of silver and gold, trusting in their great wall, but not knowing that the enemy had found a way through their wall. Didn't need to break down their wall. And the King of the North, he's found a way through their wall. Just waiting for the right season, just waiting for the right kind of time. So you have to have these kind of people arise at certain kind of times. And you know, if you take different things about them, you'll find that they really do pattern certain things from the scripture. It'll be like a parallel. It'll be like a repeat performance. And what happened back there, because the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
That which has been shall be again. And that which is now has already been. So we should be able to see it. So I just want to show you a few things about the Clintons just to really show why I really do believe these people, they have a significance at this time. And that's why I do think she's going to get in. You know, I really do believe that. You know, just that's my own private opinion, because she seems to be the person that's required at this time. Because if Trump gets in, do you think Trump's going to do anything against the Christians? Now, if Trump gets in, then maybe it's not quite as late as we thought. Maybe there's still more work that needs to be done. But if Clinton gets in, friends, she is a witch. She's one of the most evil people you can ever. I've studied her a lot the last couple of weeks. She is a witch. If ever there was a modern-day Jezebel, it's Hillary Clinton. She's one of the most wicked women. She's one of the most wicked women. And for her to take control at a time like this, friends, I'd be very, very watchful if she takes over now. Because someone has to rise up. Someone has to come and quicken some of these other portions of the scripture so that there can be this final fulfillment of what to look at. We'll see it in the scriptures just now. So that's how the prophet speaks about Billy Graham. He says that when the eyes were open, he says, Graham, six letters. He says, the messenger of the hour to the church in Babylon down there in Sodom. So there was a significance between his name and where he was sent to. He was in Sodom. He was to play some important role in Sodom, Billy Graham. So with Hillary Rodham, yeah, that was her maiden name, Clinton. There must be something about that. There must be. And the number six. Friends, the prophet always says Graham, six letters. Yeah, and we know that he's trying to get people to look at his name. Yes, exactly. You know, Branham, seven letters, Abraham, seven. So he's trying to show the significance of these kind of things. But the number six, if you go and see, we know six is a man's number. Because man was formed on the sixth day. But if you study the number six, six is either, this is taken from the numerics of the Bible, six is either 4 plus 2. Now 4 is the number of man's world. Yeah? Man's government. 2, they say, is the number of enmity to God. So when you put it together, it's man's system at enmity with God. So as we head into a time now that somebody's got to bring about the enforcement of 666, let's think of what this is. Amen. What is 666? What does it represent? Yes, this is man's enmity. This is human government at enmity with God. Yes. And that's what we're looking for. Now we've seen the dragon, yeah, which is Rome. But it says this woman, yeah, America, she's got to speak like the dragon.
That's right.
Now she's got to be just as much as Rome has always been the enemy of God. Yeah. America's going to have to start speaking like Rome.
That's right.
We'll see it in Revelation 13. The prophet says America is number 13. Yeah. 13 stars, 13 stripes when they first were founded. He says, it's in Revelation chapter 13. Started with 13 states. And he says, it's a woman's number. It's a woman's nation. What's the first thing when you get in a ship and you sail to America do you see? The Statue of Liberty. You see a woman. Lady Liberty. It's a woman's nation. You know, so if you're thinking that this is a woman's nation, to me it would make quite a lot of sense to finish the cycle, bring it to an end, maybe to the end of the cycle by putting a woman in charge. They've never had a woman in charge before. But it's a woman's nation. You know, so if you can just see my thoughts. I'm just putting some thoughts here. I'm not saying it's gospel, but it's just thoughts. Now, the number six also is 5 plus 1. 5 is grace. 1 is when man adds to grace. It's a perversion of grace.
Amen.
Now, whatever God has, man perverts. That's why the number 6, it's man's number. Whenever man gets involved in something, it's 7 minus 1. 7 is perfection, spiritual perfection. Man falling short of that.
Amen.
You know, it's always this number 6. It always shows the same kind of a thing.
Amen.
And it's the 666 is a man's number. Yeah, the number of a man. The number of his name, we know that. So, 666, and if you take 3 sixes, 3, completion, yeah? It's like binding something completely. 6, if 6 is the number of human perfection, falling short of divine perfection, 666 is more emphatic. 666 is the concentrated expression of this. Yeah. This is now the culmination of humanity at odds with God.
Amen.
And now we're speaking about the beast.
Amen.
Now we're speaking about Nimrod. Now we're speaking about man's system waging warfare against God. Making a tower, making a system to reach up to heaven at enmity against God. Saying, so we don't need this God. If he sends another flood, we'll just make ourselves a tower. The prophet speaks about it. But it speaks of that. And the prophet says, Laodicea, yeah? What does it speak of? He says, the one world government, which they're already in the process of forming today. So friends, things have got to be united under one head. What Nimrod began back there, but because it wasn't time, it was just a shadow and a type. God had to confound his tower and scatter and bring many nations. But in our age, we see them rebuilding that tower, and they're going to finish their tower.
That's right.
Because Nimrod has to come on the scene. He's the beast. He caused a forced worship. He caused a forced political union. He caused his own religion and caused people to come and worship under his own religion. He's a real type of the beast. But friends, from where we stand today, to get to that stage, which we know is soon to come, there's got to be certain people, certain things come into place to quicken these things to their fulfillment.
Amen.
And it needs these kinds of people. You know, it needs these kind of politicians like Putin, Amen. Like I said, these kinds of people that are really given over to evil, but they're just instruments that God will use to bring about the fulfillment of his word. So, if you take seven, the rainbow, yeah? We see it was the covenant. It was God's grace. What did the LGBT community use as their flag? They had a march in Belfast yesterday. They used the rainbow.
That's right.
But it's a six-colored rainbow. Go and see. They dropped one of the colors out. I went and studied it. Why did they drop that color out? Initially, when they planned to put their rainbow, they wanted seven colors. Then they dropped hot pink. That was the one color they wanted. And hot pink was going to represent hot sex. That's what it was, imagine what they wanted. And they dropped it out. And some inspiration just struck them to say, okay, let's make a flag, but we'll only put six colors. Friends, that means something.
That's right.
Can you see man? Can you see the perversion of man, what he does? That God has a covenant, but man now he falls short.
That's right.
And that's why six is the number of man. And it's a very significant number in the age that we live. Graham was six down to Sodom. No, that was his ministry down there right at the time. It was time for the fulfillment now of what God had revealed to Abraham, his prophet. Seven letters. And this man, this Billy Graham, had to go down in type to do it. Now, you can't beat your type, the prophet said. He says it in the third seal. He speaks about when Elijah comes on the scene in the last days. And he says, but they won't accept him. And why did the prophet know that Elijah wouldn't be accepted? He says, she will not receive it, speaking of the churches. Because, like the Hebrew bride did, her traditions. So the prophet's saying, there's a type here. When Elijah came on the scene, did they accept him? No. When John came on the scene, did they accept him? No. So the prophet knew, when I go forth, it's not going to work out the way that maybe people would think it's going to work. Because, you know, this has already been foreshadowed in the scripture. He says, why won't she? Why won't the church? Because there's her type. She can't do it. That's right. She can't beat her type. And it's predicted she would do it. So how are you going to keep her from doing it? Can you see the power of that? Then he says, now, the only thing is, you be happy that you're in. Because you can't beat your type. You see? And Elijah, at the same time, when Jezebel, Ahab on the scene, what was it? Elijah was raptured. There was the widow woman. There was the spoken word. There's all the shadows and the types. And you can't beat your type.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody will fulfill their type.
Amen.
That's why the prophet says that you should be happy for the type that you are in.
Amen.
Now, the type that you and I are fulfilling, friends. And that's why types and shadows, the prophet was a typologist. That's why the Lord never allowed him to get a big education. So that he wouldn't lean on his education to understand things. That's why the Lord allowed him to be a wilderness man. Because he started to see the God of nature is the God of the Bible.
Amen.
And he started to see the shadows and types. The sun rising every morning, speaking of the resurrection. You know, the springtime, speaking of the resurrection. Those are all types that he saw in the word, but he got it from nature. And that's how the prophet says, I'm a typologist.
Amen.
He would always take these types. Because you can't beat your type. So if you want to know you're in the right place, Friends, you're going to find shadows and types in the scripture they're going to show you. There's going to be things, like we said on Friday, even when you get to the burning bush, there's going to be certain things that are revealed to you that are going to show clearly scriptures pertaining to your situation at that time. So God's going to take things from the scripture which were fulfilled in for a reason and a purpose at that time in the lives of people, and then you find yourself in your course of history in a certain situation, and God's going to bring those things, those scriptures and those shadows and types to you so you can see exactly where you are and exactly what it is that you've got to do. That's the power of His Word. So let's have a look at some of these types of the Clintons. Now the first thing about the Clintons, let's look at them as Ahab and Jezebel, because we'll see that they are a real type of Ahab and Jezebel. The first thing, Ahab and Jezebel were the only husband and wife team in the Bible. Who else did you really find in the Bible? A husband and a wife ruling the way that they did. No one. The only other one you find maybe is Herod, and then Herodias a little bit gets involved. And both of those were types of our day. Because when Ahab and Jezebel teamed up together, 1 Kings 16, when Ahab did the greatest wickedness after all his wickedness, and he went in, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the priest of the Sidonians. Yeah? That's the very last verse of chapter 16. What does it cause immediately, chapter 17? Elijah.
Amen.
Chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite comes on the scene. Can you see it's always like that?
Amen.
You always find something happens and God's going to respond to it like that.
Amen.
You find in the days of Herod, who was a wicked man, but he still had some godliness. But his wife, Herodias, was the one. Who was the power behind that caused the influence upon Herod to behead John the Baptist, to bring a persecution? It wasn't Herod. It was Herodias.
That's right.
She was the schemer. She was the witch behind the scene.
Amen.
She was the one that used her husband. Her husband wasn't such a bad man. Her husband had some godly qualities in him, which he'd show once in a while. But it was Herodias.
Amen.
And that was the days of Elijah, John the Baptist.
Amen.
So it's always going to be like, and friends, we're living in the days of Elijah.
Amen.
So we've got to have these things, and the shadows and the types will keep on unfolding themselves right down to the end, like the prophet said. You'll have the primary fulfillment of something, and then you'd have a secondary. And as time goes by, and God will be showing that, friends, we're right in that season, we're right in that time. So Ahab and Jezebel were a team. It's like Bill and Hillary Clinton, they were a team. No other, can you ever, I bet you most people can't even name George Bush's wife. You don't know his wife. We just know Obama's wife because she's on the news now. But in 10 years' time, no one will even remember there was a Michelle Obama. Or that there was a Barbara Bush. But no one will ever forget there's a Hillary Clinton. Even if she doesn't become president, friends, because what she did when Clinton was a president, yes. She was the power behind. She was the instigator of almost all the evil the man did. You know, so you find it's a type here. There's something going on. It's strange. You find in America, because the prophet says what happened in Israel in their last days must parallel in America in its last days. That's in Jezebel religion. He says that. So we've got to see it. And we find right at the end of, as Israel was coming to fill up its cup, yeah, we find there came a husband and a wife. Now, where did, look in 1 Kings chapter 21. In fact, let's go to 1 Kings 22, verse 39, first of all, just to see where they lived. Just to show the shadows and the types. 1 Kings 22, verse 39. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made. A white house.
Amen.
He made an ivory house.
Amen.
So Ahab and Jezebel were living in a white house.
Amen.
That's how the prophet says it's God, a shadow and type.
Amen.
So, the ivory house which he made. And now we can continue on. There's so many things if you go and study about these people. But it says, and all the cities which he built. You know the recession that we've just gone through, you know who caused it? It was Bill Clinton.
Amen.
He was the one who changed the laws now to allow building. He was the one who allowed people to get mortgages which they shouldn't have got. He was the first one. And Ahab, in his time, it was the same. There was a great prosperity at first, it seemed. There was a great boom, it says, in all the cities which he built. And that's what he was well known for. And Bill Clinton was known for that. He came and said, no, I want to be a force in government so that everyone can own their own house. And he took away all the constraints which had been put there in the laws of America to stop the banks lending to people that they shouldn't lend to. Just to profit from that. And he went, and I can't remember the names, but he repealed all these things. And that started now such a boom, which became the housing bubble, and then it burst in the days of Bush. And now we still feel in the face of it. So you find you can't beat your type on those things. But they lived in an ivory house, and they both lived there. And friends, I wouldn't be surprised if Clinton gets back into the ivory house, to the White House. I wouldn't be surprised. Because we'll see in the shadows and the types, Ahab went off the scene first. But his wife continued on. His wife continued on.
That's right.
She was still in power right to the end.
Amen.
So you find the husband now, he was in the White House first, Ahab. And then the husband now, he loses his position. And then the wife now comes and takes his position. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if that if that's going to happen. Well, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't really matter. But that is the way that it was. Now look in 1 Kings 25, verse 21, verse 25. It says, there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. That's all there is that, friends.
Amen.
It's this woman behind the scenes. And that's why the prophet saw that woman. You know, it's not so much sometimes just the government and the people that are there. But there's an influence behind. There's an agenda behind. And you and I won't know that agenda unless there's an Elijah who can go and see what's happening in the king's bedchamber.
Amen.
Who's making his secret plans and he's doing all these kind of things. But that's what was happening in those kind of times. Ahab was more a figurehead. But the person that was really controlling behind the scenes was Jezebel. And she was a wicked woman. And it says that Ahab did sell himself. If anybody knows the history of Bill Clinton, friends, those people, they sold themselves for money. The most corruption, when he was the governor of Arkansas, the things that he did to make money. These people, they sell themselves for power. They sell themselves for wealth and fortune. But the real power behind it, the one that was stirring himself up, was Jezebel, was Clinton behind it. So we find these kind of times. Now, the biggest scandal that the Clintons went through was Whitewater, if anybody knows it. Whitewater, when Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, he saw some property, some land in Arkansas. And him and his wife, especially his wife, she was now working for a law firm called Law & Rose. She was a top lawyer. And they decided, hey, we can make some money out of this. So they got this portion of land at this place called Whitewater, a Whitewater property development. And it became known as Whitewatergate. Because they started selling now mortgages to senior citizens who they knew could never pay. And they put a clause in the mortgages that if you didn't pay for 1 month, you lost your property. And they were selling these properties and just recycling them. Because the moment someone wouldn't pay for 1 month, they would take the property and sell it to somebody else. And it became a big scandal when he was the governor of Arkansas. And he had to go now and testify and all these kind of things. And he lied through the teeth about it. And he covered it all up. But when it all came out in the wash, they found out that the one who had made the deal, who actually had signed all the papers, wasn't Bill Clinton, it was Hillary Clinton. Because she was in the law firm and she went and signed all the papers. Now look in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. Just to look back as we build it up to our day. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab the king of Samaria. The king sees this piece of land. He's in authority. He's even more than the governor. He's the king of the land. He sees this land and he says, I want this land. So Ahab, he wasn't a bad man at first, you see. He spoke to Naboth saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near my house. Verse 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. This was a principled man.
Amen.
And friends, we'll find these scriptures will repeat themselves time and time again. We're going to find that Ahab, the great mistake that he made that brought judgment upon him, he wants to take the inheritance away from Naboth. And America with the Jews. You'll find that. Ahab types America. We'll find that is the last thing. When they turn against the Jews, the prophet says the only thing that keeps America together is the support they give to the Jews. He says, but watch when they turn against them. To take away the inheritance. Because what is the big thing going on all these presidents have tried to do in America? Try to get Naboth to sell his inheritance.
Right.
And Naboth, Israel, is saying, this is the land of my fathers. Far be it that I should do this.
Amen.
Far be it that I should do this. So you find these principled people. But Ahab, he wasn't that man of principle like that. But well, he says, there's nothing that I can do. And he goes and lies on his bed and he's sad. He doesn't eat. And in comes Hillary. Verse 5. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said, because I spoke to Naboth, said to him, give me the vineyard, I'll give you another one. He says, I'll not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, verse 7, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Are you not the governor? Arise and eat bread, let your heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Hey, verse 8. Now listen to it. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name.
Amen.
Friends, you go and study the Clintons. It's fascinating, friends. It's exactly, you'll find these people exactly another secondary fulfillment of Ahab and Jezebel. It's exactly the same thing in all that they did. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth and said, have a fast. Call now Naboth to come and sit at the high place at the fast and withdraw from him. And then say that he blasphemed the king and he blasphemed God. And the elders, the city officials, were so corrupt. They were in the same corruption with the governor and his wife. And this man, Naboth, now, they take him and they put him to death. So an innocent man dies just to cover things up so that they can get their piece of land. And you go and see the scandals of the Clintons. There was a man called Vince Foster. He was a law partner with Clinton, Hillary Clinton. He knew the entire deal. And they say that he was about to come out and tell the truth of all the corruption. And he was found dead in his car. Now, there was a big scandal about that. So they go and they do an investigation. They find out that when the police first found the body of Vince Foster, he was in a car. Yeah? And the initial police report says, we found him in a car and he had a gun in his hand. And he had 6 bottles of alcohol in his car. But by the time now things move, about an hour later, the whole report changes. And now they find him lying in a park. Yeah? With a gun in his hand. And in the police report, they say, we could find no fingerprints on the gun that belonged to this man. The only fingerprint we could find is from some unknown person. But about an hour later, when something takes place amongst the city officials, something takes place about the death of this man, they find him in a park on the other side of town. And that becomes the official story. And then they go and investigate, and the Secret Service agents come and testify later on that the reason that happened was, when he died in the car, that part of the city was under the jurisdiction of the FBI, New York State. But on this other side of town where his body was conveniently found later on, that part of the city was under the jurisdiction of Bill Clinton. So he could be responsible for the investigation. You know, you can just see all this. You even go and read, since there's so many scandals around these people. And you'll find one thing which they do. They use the city officials. They use the system that's there. No, they want their corruption. They want their greed. They gain. They get things to cover up. They just do that all the time. And so there was a scandal. And it's exactly the same as it was with Ahab. There was this about land. This was such a blot. And this is why Elijah came to him and said, the dogs will lick your blood. But you know that he wasn't such a bad man sometimes, this man, Ahab. Look at verse 27, when Elijah came to him. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring this evil upon his house. There was a remnant of something inside of this man. But friends, the scripture says bad company corrupts good communications. The worst thing that a person can do is marry the wrong woman like that. No, you might think I'm going to make a change and whatever reason that he did. But this man who started off being able to humble himself at one time, friends, he brought the wrath of God upon himself and upon his people in the end. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It says, he who walketh with wise men shall become wise. Amen. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Amen.
And this man, it was the greatest mistake he ever made Ahab, was to bind himself together with this woman Jezebel. She was a wicked woman. And that brought all the scandal and all the corruption upon this man. If you read about Hillary Clinton, when he first became governor, he was very young. It says he left the position in 1981. Afterwards, he and his pastor traveled to Israel. And he gave a speech to the parliament, the Knesset, 1984. And he said, of words that his pastor had told him. He says, my pastor thought I might one day become president. And he said, if you abandon Israel, God will never forgive you. He said, Clinton, it's God's will that Israel be the biblical home of the people. And that's why at first when he became president, he was pro-Israel. But then the influence, friends,
Amen.
The influence of power. That's how the prophet says, America's so far gone. You could bring an Abraham Lincoln, put him in every county. He wouldn't turn it around. Because the whole system is corrupt. You find whenever somebody wants to maybe do something righteous and they get into power, that system corrupts them. It doesn't take long. That's why it doesn't matter who you elect. Nothing really changes. It doesn't matter who you elect. And that's the reason that there's a little bit of there's the support for Trump. It's because he's not tied to all these other systems, all this establishment that's there. And people are tired of voting and voting and voting and finding out that, hey, nothing changes in the system. You know, it's a sad thing. That's why, friends, good company is a vital thing. For the Lord to put you together, for the Lord to grant you grace and put you together with the people that put the right influence on you. Sometimes young people don't appreciate their parents for that. You know, they think they're being kept back from something, but there's leaven out there. There's such a corrupting influence out there that if you just go and spend too much time there, unless you're really born again inside of your soul, no matter how righteous you might have thought that you were at first, no matter the good ideals and intentions that you had, you will get corrupted by that leaven. It's like that brother in prison in South Africa, we said it before, when he said all the children of message believers that he met in the prison. And he says every time the testimony was the same. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people.
Amen.
Though they might have had even a godly heart or you know a conviction or desire to do that which is right. But friends, there's something about this. And the prophet could see it from back there. When he said, America's finished. He says, I don't pray because the whole system was corrupt. He says it's corrupt right to the core.
Amen.
That even if a righteous person wants to rise up or a person who has the right kind of an ideal, with that whole system the way that it is, friends, it can never achieve anything.
That's right.
It can never achieve anything to the good of anything. It's so far gone. And the prophet says, a prophet sees the cup filled up before it's full. But he could see, no, there's a spirit, there's a something that's moving in this country, the prophet knew, and in this age, that nothing can turn it back anymore. Nothing is going to turn this back. He said that right back then. He says the prophet rises up and he sees that shadow coming and he cries out against it. And he comes back and the shadow hasn't yet come, but he knows it's going to come. And he cries out against it now as if it's a present tense because of the dimension that he's been in. And friends, that's the age that we're living in. That's why he says, I don't even pray for America anymore. I don't even pray for America anymore. Where's the scriptural type? When Samuel was praying for Saul. And the Lord said to Samuel, why are you praying for this man? Don't pray for him. I've rejected him. Imagine, his human compassion was causing him to pray, but God already had rejected the man. You know, it's a serious thing to think about. You don't want to cross that line. But the prophet says, 1956, 1957, America crossed that line. But what did God first do? God first sent them grace. God first sent them warning. No, God first sent them a revival that struck the land. There were such powerful things that took place. And then the prophet says, but according to type, she's going to reject it. Because in the days back there, it was rejected, so it's going to be rejected now. And that's how he knew all these shadows and types of the last days would be fulfilled. And it's the same with these kind of people. You know that Bill Clinton, some of his closest friends were Pentecostal and charismatic ministers. Yeah. And he remained in contact with them when he first started his presidency. And this is a true story. It says one of the lesser known stories about Clinton was his dealings with President Putin. Putin was worried about the growing influence of the Pentecostal groups rising up in Russia. And he considered them a threat. And he was thinking of cracking down on them. Yeah. And it says it was Bill Clinton who informed Putin that some of his closest friends were Pentecostals and they would not work against him, but were valuable assets to him. Putin took Clinton's advice and later thanked Clinton for his suggestion. That's why he didn't crack down on them then. You know, you just can see sometimes there's a remnant inside of people, friends. Yeah, and that's why you can see Clinton, he's like a type like Ahab. And he's like John F. Kennedy. Now these people, that's some good characteristics. Now there was something inside of them, but ooh, friends, the system, you know. Maybe they never came under the right influence, but they could never overcome. And the great falling of these people was immorality. If there was ever an immoral president, it was Bill Clinton. There was never a more immoral man in the White House. And who was so immoral like him? John F. Kennedy. Kennedy with Marilyn Monroe and all the things that he did. Such immoral people. Yet sometimes a person who has maybe a desire to do that which is right.
Sister, patience has fallen very ill.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if we could pray for
her. Yes, let's pray for her, brother. Let's pray for Sister Patience. She's not well, yeah? Is she there, yeah? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're an ever-present time and a help in a time of trouble. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even now, we lift our sister up unto thee, seeing what the enemy would desire to do, Lord, seeing what the devil would desire to do. Father, in your precious name, we bind him, Lord. Father, in your precious name, we curse him. And whatever agenda that he's got, Lord, Father, we bring it to naught. Father, we possess his gates in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because, Lord, you have possessed his gates. Father, Lord, we speak your blessing upon our sister that you would raise up and restore her in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. 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 We're just speaking about immorality. Friends, that's one of the greatest things when people get into power is immorality. You see it even among ministers. That's how the prophet says, money, woman, popularity. There's something. It really takes a certain kind of a character and a certain kind of a person when things get big and things get prosperous and somebody's in a position of power and people are looking up to them. For a person to be able to maintain the integrity in that, that's how we so respect the prophet.
That's right.
You know, all those things. There was no scandal around those things.
Amen.
You know, the prophet was such an outstandingly humble man. You know, the money never got him. The woman never got him. The pride, the popularity never got him. And that's the grace that came upon the messenger. And friends, I believe it's the same grace that's upon those who will follow his message.
Amen.
If we just yield ourselves up unto him. So the prophet says you can't beat your type. Let's look now in the scriptures at some of these things. We know in 1 Kings chapter 16, let's just read it just so we know exactly where we are in this shadow and this type. Let's just trace this through to see where we are. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he, that's Ahab, took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. That was a wicked thing. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So the moment that Kennedy is elected, the prophet says, like we said, he comes and he preaches Jezebel religion. And the prophet in Jezebel religion traces the whole program through. And he says, what's the first thing that happens? Why does God raise Elijah at that time? Because friends, when you see things coming together like this, when you see politics, you see religion, you see evil spirits, demon power coming together, you see this great alliance coming together, like we're heading into that kind of a cycle now, there's nothing that will meet this challenge except for the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
And that's how whenever these similar sort of circumstances rise up, you'll always find God sends Elijah.
Amen.
You'll always find the spirit of Elijah. There's nothing else that can meet the challenge.
Amen.
Now when Jezebel now starts to rise up and she starts to exert her influence, there was nothing in the religious systems of that day. Though there were righteous people like Obadiah, who hid the prophets of the Lord and so forth. But there was nobody that could withstand that spirit.
Amen.
The only one that could withstand that spirit was Elijah.
Amen.
He rose up. He was fearless against that. Now, he didn't mind the threats that Jezebel would make. He didn't mind all the things that were taking place round and about. And that's why God will rise up Elijah.
Amen.
And he did with the prophet. And he will send Elisha, who's anointed with the double portion of the
Amen.
Spirit of Elijah, which is a type of the bride, because that's the condition of time that you're moving into.
That's right.
And as we see, like the Clintons, and we see them rising up, we'll see if Clinton will do like the type says. Ahab died first. He went off the scene, and then she outlived him. And Jehu had to get anointed later on to come now and bring judgment upon her. But she was still in her position of power. So whether that's going to fulfill, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. The prophet says God is his own interpreter.
Amen.
That's the best thing. Wait to see if God's going to interpret it. But these kind of things are just prophetic types to us.
Amen.
To show us, it's a confirmation of the hour that we're living in.
Amen.
That is getting to a time now, friends, that the real Jezebel is going to show power. The real Jezebel is going to rise on the scene. So the moment that Elijah comes now, and the prophet says it in Jezebel religion, he says, Elijah, he says, we can expect this man to rise on the scene, but he'll be rejected. And as soon as he's rejected, God will take him off into the wilderness. He says, and then there'll come a drought.
Amen.
And the prophet says, not a drought naturally, he says, but watch the spiritual drought that's coming. That was in 1961. And see what's happened, friends. That's why all of these things, the Toronto blessing and all these other things have risen up. All these strange things in the Christian world. People have gone off after fanaticism. They've gone off after all these other things. Friends, it's people seeking for the genuine word of the Lord.
That's right.
But the prophecy says, there'll come a famine in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Not a famine for food, yeah? Mm-hmm. Or drought for water, but of sharing the genuine word of the Lord. And the fair virgins, Christians, will go from the north to the south, to the east, to the west, seeking to hear the genuine word of the Lord. And they won't hear it. Our friends, we should really appreciate God's grace. Because like we said, you and your home are the same. You don't have enough time to get in the message the way that you should. It's not that you're scratching for something to listen to. You don't have enough time to get into all the things that you'd like to get into. Our friends, there's a feast. And the prophet saw the vision of the great mountain of bread. And the people dressed in white robes coming from the north, south, east and west to partake of that. That was right at the beginning of his ministry. He saw that vision. And then he goes, with Brother Fred Sothman, and then when he saw that vision, store up the food.
Amen.
And he says, what was the storehouse? Was the tabernacle. And he was putting in radishes and all these vitamins and all the things that were required. And the Lord told him to store up the food. So Elijah now, in the type, what happens? He's rejected at that time. Now you listen to Jezebel religion when the prophet preaches it. It didn't go down well. Even that day when he preached it, friends, it didn't go down well. You can tell the prophet he was having quite a hard time. Because it wasn't easy for him to say those things. Because people were sitting there saying, but what's this man getting involved in politics for? Because he was speaking about, you've elected now an Ahab. And it's going to be Jezebel behind the throne.
Yeah.
And the prophet says, watch the wave that's going to come in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the American Supreme Court today, 9 Supreme Court judges, there's not one Protestant. There's not one Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a nation that was founded on freedom of religion, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
that was founded with people seeking, people that were genuine believers, message believers in their age. Going to Plymouth Rock, establishing the nation. The prophet says, George Washington praying all night at Valley Forge.
That's right.
Abraham Lincoln, you know, godly leaders. Then it comes down to a time that now in the Supreme Court, making the supreme decisions for the country, there's four liberal Jews and five Catholics. My. And the prophet told us in Jezebel religion, watch. Watch Jezebel take over now.
Amen.
Watch. He says, watch what's going to happen to your freedom of religion. That's what I'm saying, friends. The
Amen.
Prophet would speak of things before they would come.
Amen.
But already all of these mechanics have been put into place. They've been. The prophet says it'll be like, you know, the apple in the core, the worm in the core of the apple. He says, you won't see it on the outside. He says, but watch how it's going to start working now. He said, it wasn't Ahab. He said, he might have been quite a decent man. But it was that Jezebel system behind him. And that's what it was in why he preached Jezebel religion. And then he says, but Elijah now, when he's rejected, he says, he was called off to the brook Cherith. He says, there was a fountain of living waters.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He says, and from there, where was he sent to? To the widow woman.
Yes, sir.
Who was a Gentile. He says, and her husband had died. She used to be under the headship of another man.
Mm.
But God removed that headship and put her under the headship of Elijah. And that's where now the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil never went dry.
Amen.
According to the sayings of the word of Elijah.
Amen.
You know, so that's the time we've been going through now. There's the great famine that struck Ahab and Jezebel back there. We saw it in 1960s. The prophet saw it. The famine started to set in. Look what's happened. They're joining themselves together and all these things in the World Council of Churches, whatever. But the voice of Elijah, it's been hidden away.
That's right.
You see, God knew where to send it. The Lord actually says, I have prepared a widow woman for you.
Amen.
God had prepared her beforehand. Then he continues on the prophecies. That's what's going to happen. Now, what happened during the time of that famine? How did it come to a culmination? What happened in 1 Kings chapter 17? There came a persecution.
Amen.
Now can you see where we're still having to get to, friends?
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you're looking at these shadows and these types, we can see the prophet speaking of it back there in the 60s. Then he said, and look away to Jesus. He says, I need to go quiet now. He says, because things need to catch up.
Yes,
he says, because according to Revelation 13,
amen,
America needs to speak like the dragon.
Yes, sir.
So the prophet says, the third pool's here. It's identified itself among you. You've seen it five times. He says, but it'll go quiet now.
Amen.
It won't be used in any outstanding way.
Nope.
Until things get caught up.
Yes.
And friends, that's why when I look at these kind of things and I see these kind of people going for these kind of offices in America, you start to wonder.
Amen.
To say, is it time now that things are catching up? Because something's got to come in to bring this persecution. Because when Elijah went off the scene, he ministers to the widow woman. She sustained all the time of the famine. Yeah, the Lord blesses her. There's the, you know, the spoken word and the things that she's experiencing. But at the same time, there came a persecution. But it took Jezebel to rise up. It wasn't Ahab who brought the persecution. It was Jezebel that brought the persecution.
Amen.
So there comes now the persecution. Listen what the prophet says in Smyrnaean Church Age, the Church Age book. He says, if you think this is shocking, just wait until the prophecy of Revelation 13 is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
What is Revelation 13? First we see Jezebel, Rome,
Amen,
rising up. A beast rising up out of the waters. Then we see Ahab rising up, America, with the two horns. Freedom of religion at first. There's a separation of church and state. Ecclesiastical power, church power. Government power, they don't mix. But before, the prophet said, why was it a lamb? He says, because it shows the nation will still be young. America is just over 200 years old. Other nations are thousands of years old. The prophet says it was a lamb, showing that it's not going to get old. It's not going to grow up, that nation, before it starts speaking like the dragon. So we're looking for a time now that these things are going to have to come together. And we're going to have this beast, the woman sitting on seven hills, Rome, drunk with the blood of the martyrs from the Dark Ages, decked in gold and silver and precious stones, the Vatican, to whom the kings of the earth bow down. Anyone who goes to visit the Pope, you bow down and you kiss his ring. That's why the prophet refused to go for his appointment, because he would have had to kiss the bow down to the Pope. Yeah, seated on seven hills, the seven hills of Rome. Mystery Babylon. But just Mystery Babylon itself isn't going to fulfill the scripture. It's going to need this other nation, this other one, this one that rises up from the land, from the earth, where there weren't a lot of people, America, who rises up like a lamb at first. But it's going to need these two to come together.
Amen.
It's going to need Ahab and Jezebel to come together in Revelation 13. And then we're going to find a persecution. And then we're going to find it. That's why the prophet says, just wait until the prophecy of Revelation 13 is fulfilled. It is strikingly true. The United States is in that chapter. The very number 13 is a symbol of this nation. And there is her destiny in the 13th chapter. Now, let's look at Revelation 13 while we're there, before we come to a close. Revelation 13.
Amen.
So the prophet says her destiny is there. Revelation 13. Verse 11. This is America. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. That's the time we come into, friends. America's going to speak like the dragon. Something has to empower the World Council of Churches. Something has to. We'll see it in the scripture here now. Verse 12. Okay, we'll skip a little bit. Verse 14. In fact, skip to 15. And he had power, this is this beast, the lamb, to give life unto the image of the beast. What is the image of the beast? It's the World Council of Churches. This is the religious persecution. This is the prophets of Baal in the days of Jezebel that ate from Jezebel's table. Yeah, those prophets. So something has to rise up, and it's America who gives life to the image of the beast. So something's going to have to happen in America, friends.
Amen.
Something's going to happen. There's going to have to be laws. Now, Obama's taken it far, but he hasn't finished the cycle. But someone's going to have to rise up, and that's the same. Could it be? When the prophet says, this woman, cruel woman rising up, held America in her complete control. Somebody's got to come and the laws have got to change. Something's got to come and there's got to start being an enforcement of some of these things. And America now has to give life. America speaks like the dragon and then gives life, gives power, gives authority, gives lawful dominion to this World Council of Churches that it can rise up. And what does it do when it's given power? That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's the persecution.
That's right.
And the prophet says they have to close us down. I'll show you the quote just now that he says again. He says, I believe before the end, you won't be able to preach this message.
Amen.
So can you see what we're waiting for, friends? I'm not waiting to see if Clinton's going to be president. But if she is, I'm waiting to see what she does as president.
That's right.
Because someone has to take that office and has to change things a little bit there.
Amen.
So that something starts to kick in to bring things to an end.
Amen.
And this is what the prophet focuses on all the
Amen.
Time.
Yes.
And look away to Jesus. He says the same thing. He says America has to speak as the beast. He says things must go quiet. He says watch. He says but when you see. Yeah. That council starting to tighten. Are you scared of that World Council? Just say, I'm not. It has no influence, no authority, no power at the moment. But something has to change, friends. It may already be. There may be laws behind the scenes because it happens like that many times. But friends, that's what's got to happen according to prophecy.
Amen.
Something has to rise up. And this Jezebel has to unite with this Ahab. And Ahab now has to be influenced and speak like Jezebel. And then in 1 Kings chapter 17, Ahab marries Jezebel. Jezebel now, once she rejects Elijah, Ahab rejects Elijah and his message, she starts to persecute now. And Obadiah has to take the prophets of the Lord and put them in caves and feed them with bread and water secretly. Yeah? That's the type of our day. And you can't beat your type. It's got to come to that. But it doesn't finish there. What comes next? What comes next is Mount Carmel.
Amen.
It's Mount Carmel. There comes a showdown at the end.
Amen.
When that starts to happen now, the prophet says, when they start to tighten down, watch the third pull then.
Amen.
He said, it'll be to the total lost, but it'll be to the bride. There's got to come. Listen to what he says in spoken word, it's the original seed. He says, so is it at this time, in this country, that person, he's speaking of Elijah, will appear. He speaks of America, typing Israel. He says, for it's in the scriptures, thus saith the Lord. He says, then in the latter rain. Remember we saw it the other week. The prophet says, the latter rain when it starts to fall.
Amen.
It will quicken the harvest.
Hallelujah.
Not just the wheat.
No.
But it will quicken the harvest of the tares.
Yes, sir.
It will just cause them to bind together. There will be a quickening. And look at it starting, friends. There's a quickening to bring them together.
Amen.
The foolish virgin to be bound amongst the tares. The prophet says, then in the latter rain, there will come forth a Mount Carmel.
Hallelujah.
A showdown.
Amen.
The Bible fulfilled to the letter.
Amen.
Now he takes it to another type. John the Baptist. His messenger who came before his face. Malachi 3. He planted a former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. Now that's a real type because John, Elijah, had already passed off the scene.
Hey, that's right.
When Jesus came now in the Mount Transfiguration showdown, when he was changed into immortality and the immortality shone through his humanity, when that great cloud of glory overshadowed him, the prophecy, that was the latter rain. But John came and sowed in the former rain. Sowed the scene. And then Elijah went off the scene. And then there came the showdown.
Amen.
He says, this forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain. And Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds and his word when he comes.
Amen.
A showdown. A rapture of his bride. The first was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration. The third will be Mount Zion.
Amen.
And this is glory. He says, but Elijah's behavior, Moses' behavior, John's behavior, leaving their fields of service, many of the people didn't understand them. It was because they were rejected and their message. But the seed had been sown. Judgment was next. And they were a sign to the people from God that judgment was at hand. The planting was over. Our friends, there's a lot of signs around us.
Amen.
The planting's long over. It's now the bride having to lay in the presence of the sun to become golden brown. That's all that it is. But just as much as we laying in his presence to become golden brown, and your faith isn't what it was a while back. Something's changing every time you come into his presence, every time you get into his word. There's the power of transformation upon the seed. But the same thing is happening out there, friends. There's a quickening power. There's a quickening to bring things to the harvest. It's got to come. Then the prophet says in the next paragraph as we close, he says, I believe someday the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible prophesies of it. Revelations 13, 16, if you want to put it down, he says, the denominations will force her to stop or take the mark. Then the Lamb will take his bride. And judge the whore for this. Ah, friends,
Amen.
We're living right in that kind of a time. Now, to close, then came judgment. If you continue reading 1 Kings and 2 Kings, who was judged first? Was Ahab. And how was Ahab judged? A man shot him in his chariot. And that's a type. How did John F. Kennedy die?
Amen.
Somebody shot him in his chariot. And his blood ran down in the chariot. It's exactly a type.
Hallelujah.
He was shot. And if you bring it into the type of America, how Ahab, how is it going to be destroyed? Somebody shot a missile.
Amen.
And that missile, somebody found it, made right through his defense. Yeah? Because he had his armor. You go and see Ahab addressed himself for battle. But somehow, somebody at a venture, it says, he just took a chance. And something guided that arrow, friends. And it came right through the armor that he was trusting in. And at evening time, he died at the evening time. Right at the going down of the sun. You see America?
Amen.
That's the seventh vision.
That's right.
America, smoking Rome. But America's destroyed before Rome. Ahab was judged before Jezebel.
That's right.
It took another man, Jehu, to be anointed in his day. Anointed to go and bring judgment upon Jezebel. And he went in his chariots, yeah? And he went and he made warfare against Jezebel, against Ahab and his house, against his sons. And then there was those three eunuchs up there, and he said to them, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And two of them said, "Throw her down." And you know, she had painted her face and done herself up because of the coming of Jesus. And he threw her down according to the saying of Elijah.
Amen.
And the dogs licked Ahab's blood, and the dogs ate her up, ate her, according to the prophecy of Elijah.
Amen.
And that's exactly the way that it's going to be. Thus saith the Lord, Russia, the king of the north, will drop an atomic bomb of some sort on the Vatican. And now, Revelation 18. We go past Revelation 17. We see the judgment time. There's the two Babylons, the prophet says. There's the first Babylon. She's burnt with fire. Alas, O great Babylon, the people standing far off for fear of her burning, lamenting this great Babylon that's been burnt with fire. And then the prophet said to Peregrine, but watch the two Babylons. And you read down at the end of Revelation 18, and the angel takes the great millstone in his hand and casts it into the sea and says, thus with violence shall this great Babylon be destroyed. And the prophet said, you see, Los Angeles, America, that great Babylon, destroyed with an earthquake there. Can you see, friends, we're living right in a time now of the fulfillment of prophecy. But I'm glad when you get down to the shadows and types, you and I can find ourselves.
Amen.
There's so many places we can find ourselves. We can find ourselves as Elisha. We can find ourselves as Micaiah. Just echoing once again the prophecies that Elijah had made concerning their day. And it was in the days of Micaiah that he saw the judgment of Ahab. You know, it was in his. It wasn't in the days of Elijah. So there's so many places that we can find. So friends, I just want to fulfill that which is written of me. I'm sure you do the same.
Amen.
The nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. They found oil. They found gas. All these things taking place. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered. With horrors encumbered.
Amen.
Return or disperse to you. And let's stand, saints. The day of redemption is near. Let's sing that song as we come to a close. So what did the prophets say about God's interpretation of his word? Let's wait and see what comes to pass. It'll come to pass just exactly. The prophet says, I don't mind who's going to take the White House. I don't mind who's going to be governor. He says, I know who's coming as king.
Amen.
He says, that's the most important thing. And I think that's the way it should be with the everything else we wait and see. And everything will take care of itself.
Encumbered.
Look out your redemption.
Make sure there's oil in the lamp. And look up, because your redemption draws nigh. Brother Max wants to thank, Brother Max Jr. wants to thank the saints for their prayers and thank God for bringing him back safely among the saints. And he brings greetings from the saints in Groningen, there where he was. And may the Lord bless him as well. Let's sing one more time.
I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before a tyrant's door.
Saints, let's bow our heads. Why don't we all seek the Lord today? Now you speak whatever's in your heart. And surely the greatest thing that you desire is to fulfill His desire for you. So why not bring ourselves to the altar, lay our souls before Him and say, Lord, give me oil in my lamp. Quicken me, Lord. Hasten me. That as this world hastens its way to destruction, as it hastens its way to the end, Lord, you quicken me.
Hallelujah.
Quicken and hasten me.
Amen.
That I might fulfill that which is written of me.
Amen.
Let it be so. Let's all pray, saints, this afternoon.
Father, we come before the Lord at this time. Father, we know not, Lord, Father, when the day would come when we have our last service, Lord. When that day would come, even as individuals, when we pray our last prayer. But Lord, Father, as we pray together, Lord,
Father, we thank thee for the freedom of the Lord Savior. Thank you, Lord, through the message of the our Lord Savior. Amen. Father, for Lord Savior, the prophet exhorted and said, Lord, fear not, little pride.
Amen.
Oh God, give us grace now, Lord Savior. Yes, Lord. And as we part with us, oh God, let us keep you with that heart, Lord Savior God. Lord Father, watching forth one for another, Lord Savior God. Lord, and pointing one another, Lord Savior. Father, back to the cross, Lord Savior God. Give us grace and mercy, Lord, and an eyesight for the lost, Lord Savior.
Yes, Lord.
For we don't know who we wait for, Lord. But Lord Father, if you would lead us, Lord Savior, lead us to that lost lamb, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
And we bring it back to Christ, Lord Savior God. We thank thee for your word. We thank thee for your grace. We thank thee, Father, for such wondrous, fully words, Lord Father. And as we part with Jesus' name at heart. In Jesus' name we pray for these things.
Before we sing, before we close them, we wanted to greet Esther, the Jovinus' daughter from Klaipėda in Lithuania. She's with us for a few weeks. And Brother Jovinus, I just wanted to say publicly is that he, from his church, they contributed to us for our building fund, €1,000.
Amen.
So it was really a blessing. So we really do appreciate that which they did. Your brother Jovinus just came back. So we really thank you. I think it's a real, real blessing that. And just to say to the saints that on Friday night with Brother Wilmore, he's done a tremendous job on the registration of our church and all those kind of things. We had to fill in some forms again. So I think that's about it now. That should be the last thing that we have. So just about everything's gone through on that. So we're just about in a position now. Brother Jovan is helping us with our building fund as well. Just trying to raise some money by the grace of God, as the Lord lays it upon the hearts of his people, that we raise enough money that we can start looking how to build.
Amen.
You know, we've just been waiting for this registration, so we had to amend a few things for them, fill in the final forms, and it seems like that's just about finished that process. So
Amen. Let's
really pray about that.
Amen.
That he may be glorified. That he may do great things.
Hallelujah.
That he can do what we can't do.
Aye.
Because he's promised it. So let's have faith in it. Let's
Amen. Continue
to worship as we dismiss him.
Ship is battered, the anchor holds, oh, the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I fear. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have journeyed,
hallelujah,
through the long dark night, out on the open. Oh, I thank the Lord, sigh and groan, yet his eyes were watching me. touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand, we pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of good life. So your children, oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Ooh.